I'm not a geneticist, but I, over the years, Dare will tell you I dabble in it. I've always been fascinated by it, and as far as I'm concerned, reproduction is the conduit to improve genetics, and so a lot of my research time I've spent relative to my research career has been focused on improving opportunities to more or less facilitate and expand use of artificial insemination. My extension appointment is focused largely on heifer programs, and when I was at the University of Kentucky, I had an opportunity to collaborate a lot with Dare. You'll see a little bit of that work in this presentation, but since I moved to Missouri, we began, and that was a big part of the reason for the move, there was an interest because of the cow base in Missouri of more or less beginning a program statewide that would impact not only or create opportunities to expand marketing programs for heifers, but to really improve the genetics of the cow herd in the state, beginning with a heifer. And so the focus of this is going to give you some background relative to our program, where we're at, but conversations that we've had over the years, and you'll see as we get to the end of this and transition into relative to what Jared's going to talk about, is a lot of this data right now we think has opportunities because from my perspective, the genetic evaluation relative to reproductive traits in cattle is sorely lacking. And it all begins with heifers, and as far as I'm concerned, I think there's some opportunities, missed opportunities relative to connecting some of this data that at least we've collected over the years to the breed associations to participate or utilize in the national cattle evaluation and really start to focus more on improving reproduction in our beef herds. I don't know if this is going to work. Do I have to be over here with me? I'll go up here. In terms of the U.S. cow herd relative to some of the practices or procedures being used on replacement heifers to really help us as we approach that first breeding season. And for those of you that had the chance to sit through the Cliff Lamb's presentation last night, I thought he did a good job explaining the significance or importance of early pregnancy in those first calf heifers and how important that is not only to that first year but subsequent years in terms of how those heifers continue to produce. This is data from the National Animal Health Monitoring Service, and you can look at these two columns relative to the percent of operations that reported use of these various procedures or practices in 1994 and then again in 2007. And essentially, it's pretty disappointing to see that some of these really, as far as I'm concerned, pretty elementary procedures are not being more widely utilized in the industry. And having done thousands of these over the years, I remain a firm believer in their use and utility in terms of not only helping individual herds, but also now as we're seeing a growing interest in use of artificial insemination. I work very closely with AI industry, and I could tell you that most of those folks around the country are really wanting help relative to expanding use of the track scoring system, and I'll explain more of that in detail, because it is very predictive of how those heifers are going to perform in a breeding program. So essentially, when we talk about reproductive traits in general, and again, I'm not a geneticist, but if you look at this listing of reproductive traits, essentially those heritabilities are fairly lowly heritable or moderately heritable, with the exception of age and weight at puberty. And that's the whole idea of this, is to really help producers identify those heifers that have attained puberty at a relatively early age, or at least are cycling before the breeding season, or perhaps before they go on a synchronization program. So essentially, when we talk about the reproduction cycle of the cow, this is more or less what happens. And the efficiency at which that cycle flows is largely directed by how those heifers perform from that post-weaning period or during that post-weaning period up through the first part of that or first breeding season. And then how they perform when they calve is going to directly impact then what occurs relative to that subsequent breeding season, which over the years has been a problem area and or a problem time period or problem age for many young females. And so I think some of the reproductive technologies that are out there right now relative to synchronization systems and those sorts of things really create opportunities to take advantage of the jumpstart potential that some of these programs offer, and I'll talk a little bit more about that here as well. So what I want to share with you now is just a brief discussion of where we're at with our heifer program in Missouri. Now, I moved to from the University of Kentucky to Mizzou in 1996, and a big part of the interest in my my moving to Missouri was to more or less expand what we had begun and really, in many respects, try and sophisticate some of the things that we're doing with the heifer program, with the idea that given the fact that we have close to 2 million beef cows in the state, it could have long-term effects relative to the economics of the state, relative to beef herds in Missouri. So essentially, for kind of a quick look at the program, PBS did a program on the Show Me Select program a year ago. It aired just about this time a year ago. And it still is accessible at the websites listed here, and these slides will be available for you. So if you have an interest in looking at it, you can access that program. But when we began the program, basically there were 5 points to the plan. The first was to create an understanding of the importance of heifer development based on reproductive outcomes. Secondly, the changes in heifer development in one way or another will spill over into the cow herd. Third, the importance of reproductive management really becomes apparent to producers. And I think that's one of the things that sticks out to me is over the years is that even with a lot of the older age producers, and I'd probably throw myself in that category now relative to age, it's neat to see the light bulb come on in terms of having worked with the number of herds that we've worked with now and how over time the improvements that they've made relative to utilization of some of these fairly simple procedures and practices. From that point on, that's when I get excited because then the focus switches to genetics. And I think it really creates an opportunity to improve what producers are doing relative to not only the production of heifers in their herds, but also the steer mates to those heifers. And essentially, at that point, what we're seeing now is the opportunity to really create neat marketing opportunities that expand what individual producers are able to glean in terms of the economics from their herds. So these are the program objectives. They're very similar to what we developed in Kentucky when we began the Elite Heifer program there. The first was to improve existing development programs to more or less a total quality management approach. Secondly, that would provide a reliable source of quality replacements, both in terms of genetics and management. And the third, that we see an opportunity to increase marketing opportunities for and add value to heifers raised in Missouri. So kind of a snapshot relative to summary statistics in the program. We've now had 800. We have a very comprehensive database that we track data through the program. We've now had over 800 farms participate in the program statewide. We could not and cannot do the program without the participation. I'll talk more about the importance of the veterinary community, but our College of Veterinary Medicine, our extension veterinarians, and our veterinary practitioners across the state are very keyed into the program. And we could not do the program without our regional extension livestock specialists who either serve a supporting role or actually serve as coordinators in the various region. If you look at the economics, our econ department at Mizzou is very closely tied to this. The economic impact in terms of broader impact of the program since we began it now is estimated somewhere in the $90 to $100 million range. The marketing component, which is really sort of a smaller aspect of the program, we've had 131 sales at 10 locations to date. We've had just under 30,000 heifers that have sold through the program. You can see the gross sales there. I'm not going to go through a lot of the sales data, but we do track buyers, and we're expanding the reach relative to where those heifers are sold into. Our most recent spring sale at Joplin, we had buyers, because we're now actually offering or creating a link relative to bidding online, and we actually had, I think, participation from close to 30 states relative to buyers that put in bids for heifers. We've marketed heifers into 18 states, and these are the states that we've actually sold heifers into. And I think given where we're at in the cattle cycle and the demand for bred females, I think the opportunity for these folks that have been in the program for the amount of time they have in some cases, I think that's only going to continue. One of the things I think, and this gets back to my opening points relative to the database, and I will tell you that it's just been great to have Jared Decker on board now. Jared is from the genomics side, I think is going to add a really critical piece to this with some of the goals that we have relative to it. We've been able to secure some additional funding to enhance our database, and that work is underway now. But it really allows us to track data generated from the program, so we're not just putting all that information into a drawer and closing it. And it's the other thing that's exciting to me is that it's really allowed us the opportunity or created the opportunity for us to compete very effectively for some of these larger competitive USDA federally funded grants. In most cases, or in all cases, they're integrated awards. These are the three grants that we've received to date, which are essentially in the range of, in total, of about $4 million. The first two were very heavily focused on the repro side of things in terms of synchronization and AI programs. And the third, which is a large collaboration with Jerry Taylor's group, our group, and repro, as well as Allison and several others, really looking at heifer fertility, and I think Jerry's actually going to talk a little bit about that in the session that he's speaking at, I think that overlaps with this one. So from my perspective, having both an extension and a research appointment, I think these projects have really had a big impact. And as far as I'm concerned, over the course of my career, I don't think I've done anything that's had as big an impact relative to actually transferring technology to the field. Because we see herds across the state, and the use of improved genetics, largely through AI, has literally exploded in Missouri in terms of both heifers and cows. And a large part of this is credited to these integrated awards. But it really does enable us to use and apply what we know to create knowledge, not just among ourselves as educators or the veterinary community, but among producers as well. And the idea behind it is to really transfer the science-based technology or knowledge that really has helped producers improve their economics on their individual operations. One of the things that really actually was tied to the heifer program, and I'll show you that information here in a moment, is we received one of the first integrated awards in the reproduction area. And the idea behind that is, or was that we were at a point relative to the science side of this that we saw a very clear need based on how these timed AI protocols were working in cows that we needed to have some way to transfer that to the field. At the same time, we were in a situation where the success rates relative to heifers were not performing as well. So the outreach component of the project was to really take the technology to the field. So we worked with 73 herds, and those are the locations, the starred locations in Missouri. A little over 7,000 cows were bred on those field demonstrations. And the research component of that was really largely focused on the development of a timed AI protocol that would really work fairly consistently on heifers and give us comparable results to some of the outcomes that we're seeing with some of the protocols used in cows. One of the things, all these cows were actually placed on the 7-day coasting seeder protocol. And for any of you guys that have done any of this, it was a really interesting experience to work with herds across the state. Because of the geographics of Missouri, we have many fall breeding herds. South of I-70 and north of I-70, we have a lot of spring calving herds. So we basically were doing this year-round for several years. But those 7,000 cows that were inseminated on those field demonstrations, we averaged a 62% timed AI result with, which, again, if any of you folks have done this, that's pretty darn good relative to getting 62% of your cows pregnant on the first day of the breeding season. We only had 7 of the 73 herds that their preg rates at the timed insemination was under 50%, and I can pretty much go through those point by point and tell you retrospectively what we think occurred relative to the decreased performance in those. Suffice to say, though, this just opened up the eyes to the state relative to the opportunities, and not just the opportunities in terms of getting more cows pregnant, but the opportunities to improve genetics. And so when we did this, when we met with the groups, we would meet with a fairly large producer group, explain what would be done, because my team more or less came in. We worked with these individual herds and then worked with the respective AI companies based on the sires that were chosen. But the whole concept of timed AI made sense because it's a scheduling issue. So they realized that on such and such a day, something would happen. The next visit, something else would happen. What baffled us or surprised us, I think, in a lot of respects, was the fact that, and this is why I think what the genetics extension group is doing is so critically important. There's still a big disconnect with a lot of commercial cattlemen, and a lot of the herds we worked with were very sophisticated breeders, so don't misinterpret this as being producers that are just totally out of the loop. But a lot of these folks really didn't understand the importance of accuracy. They didn't understand that there is a difference between some of these bulls that are more highly proven and others that perhaps aren't. And so we realized there was an opportunity to really up what we were trying to communicate or get across relative to genetics. Without belaboring this is basically what came out of it relative to the Show Me Select program. What we now have in Show Me Select, because we have a lot of cow herds in the state that are now time breeding cows, we value accuracy because it gives the commercial producers it reduces their risk. It gives them a lot more predictable information relative to the traits that they're focusing on. And so essentially, bulls that meet these accuracies at the time heifers sell in our program, essentially those heifers are distinguished at the time of sale as tier twos. And Jared will talk briefly when he visits with you about some of the genomic tests now that are being used. And we have a new classification of heifers in the program relative to that. The other thing that this created was because the economics of this price, the price distinction between these heifers that are either tier one heifers that we don't know a lot about the genetics or very specific amounts or have a lot of specific information about the sires of these heifers versus the tier two heifers, in which case we know those are highly proven bulls. The price differential between those different tiered heifers really began to jump out at producers relative to what the buyers were willing to pay. And so the demand for ultrasound pregnancy diagnosis has really exploded in the state. The majority of the heifers in our program are ultrasound preg-check because of the accuracy that it affords over palpation. I will tell you that this last year in 2014, we had over 90% of the heifers in our program exposed at least for one round of AI. So from a reproductive management standpoint, to kind of lead you through some points relative to considering what we're doing, basically the focus in terms of the repro on this is to look at both before and after the first breeding season. So essentially, we attempt to create a platform for long-term reproductive health, and I think this is critical relative to heifers that are enrolled in the program. So we do have a standardized health protocol that the heifers are expected to comply with, or the herds are expected to comply with. There is a focus on nutritional development, although that's herd-to-herd independent. All the heifers in our program go through a pre-breeding exam, and so that involves a weight, a reproductive tract score, and a pelvic exam. If we do not get that data, those heifers do not actually sell through our sales. Most of the heifers are being placed on a sync program. Like I said, this last year, over 90% of the heifers were synchronized and AI'd. We do place a heavy emphasis and have requirements based on both the natural service sires used in the program as well as the bulls that are used artificially. We do have accuracy requirements for calving ease direct on the bulls that are used artificially, and that accuracy is a 0.6. And then we require early pregnancy diagnosis, and many of the heifers now are actually at the time of the preg checks are being done are also fetal sexed. So the pregnancy diagnosis has to be done, the first preg check has to be done within 90 days of the start of the breeding season. Heifers that are being AI'd, the bulls cannot go in for 2 weeks after that breeding. Essentially what that's done is it really helps us improve the accuracy of that first preg check. But it also gives us a very clear window in terms of when those heifers become pregnant, which again relates to some of the things we'll talk about here on down the road. So the intervention points for the veterinarians that participate in the program, and again, I emphasize the fact that the veterinary community plays a very big role in this. The vet school at Mizzou now is funding assistantships for graduate programs in reproduction. I have two students, I've trained two master's students that have DVMs, so they're dual enrolled students, and I have two young ladies now that are dual enrolled. They take a leave of absence from the vet school for a year, begin their research, but they're coming out with much more hands-on training relative to a lot of these things, and I can tell you that the demand for that expertise is really growing. So relative to the intervention points for vets, obviously there's the focus on health in terms of specific time points, weaning, pre-breeding, and pre-sale. The reproductive evaluation, which I spoke about here just a moment ago, in terms of the pre-breeding, essentially what we're looking at are the reproductive tract scores and the pelvic measurements. Relative to breeding, we're involved with many of the synchronization programs as well as the AI programs, and I will emphasize the fact that we work very closely with AI companies in the state that all participate in the program on a very active basis. And then early pregnancy diagnosis is required of the heifers, and again, those first preg checks have to be done within 90 days of the start of the breeding season. So these are the data that are actually collected in our program. And if you go through these, in terms of pre-breeding, obviously we track individual heifers, breed, sire, birth date, weight, hip height, in some cases, although we're not getting that from everybody. But we do get track scores on all the heifers as well as pelvic measurements. In terms of breeding, we track the various synchronization methods that those heifers are being used or being synchronized on. We use what goes into our database are the protocols that are recommended in actually all the sire catalogs. Whether or not the heifers are being bred following synchronization or observed or natural service or observed heat or on the basis of fixed time AI. We get actual AI dates on the heifers as well as when the bulls go in, when the bulls come out, the AI sire registration number as well as the registration numbers on the bulls that are being used naturally. And then in terms of pregnancy, we actually track days pregnant, whether or not they conceived artificial insemination, but then also actually when those heifers became pregnant during the breeding season. That's one of my pet peeves relative to a lot of the data that's reported to as a result of the what's heifer pregnancy as an example, is that understanding the value of early pregnancy, some of the breed associations that report heifer pregnancy EPDs, as far as I'm concerned, that data is not that meaningful because simply due to the fact that it gives no value at all to when that heifer became pregnant, simply records whether or not the heifer did become pregnant. And again, referring back to what Cliff Lamb talked about last night, I think we have to understand the value of early pregnancy and trying to figure out a way that we connect that information to the genetic evaluation, I think from the repro standpoint, I think it's really important. So let's take a moment and talk about track scores. So the track scoring system was actually developed back in the early 90s at Colorado State. I had done a lot of my graduate work at K-State in the area of puberty and heifer development, and I was actually very skeptical of it when I moved to Kentucky as a new faculty member. And so we were approached by a group of producers in central Kentucky that said, hey, we're having problems getting heifers bred early during the first breeding season. We're having problems getting those heifers to breed back as two-year-olds, and we're having too high of an incidence of calving difficulty as twos. And so we more or less put our collective minds together to figure out some basic requirements, which are essentially, in many respects, very similar to what we use in Missouri. But one of the things I wanted to really evaluate in the field was the utility of the track scoring system. And so I worked with a group of the veterinarians in central Kentucky. We came to the agreement that I would do all the repro on those heifers, so there was consistency in terms of the work that was being done, and at the end of the day, we'd analyze it, which Dara was very closely involved with, to see whether or not it was really something that was worth doing. But we didn't need to have anybody crunch the numbers. You could tell very quickly that it was worth considering doing, and it didn't take the producers long at all to figure out that as well. But as we go through these, the track scores range from 1 to 5. It involves handling the cattle. And essentially, it involves palpation of the uterus and the ovaries of the heifers to really assess reproductive development on those females. And so track score 1 heifers, basically, I'll show you some summary data here in a moment, but most of the heifers in our program now, the track score 1, when these exams are done, never see the breeding season because the breeding performance in those heifers is so abysmal that there's really no point in putting the money into maintaining them during that breeding season. There's essentially no activity on the ovaries at all. The uterine horns are very, very poorly developed. And in many cases, I think there's a couple things that stand out relative to the reason for that. One would be simply the heifers may be too young to be trying to fit into the breeding season you're trying to get them into. Or secondly, one of the things that really stood out to us is that if you get into groups of heifers that have been implanted, and this is honestly one of the biggest concerns I've got right now with the high demand for heifers and purchasing heifers to breed, and you don't know anything about the management histories in those heifers, if you're one of those people and you don't get those heifers track scored, I think you're making a big mistake because you can look at a heifer phenotypically in terms of her size or weight and how she's been developed, but then you get into those heifers that have been implanted and the reproductive track scores or reproductive tracks, there's a huge disconnect in terms of how those tracks have been developed and how they actually palpate. Scores of 2s and 3s indicate that the heifers are prepubertal or peripubertal. Essentially, you're going to find differences relative to follicular activity on the ovaries as well as uterine horn dimensions. Essentially, what we consider to be a 2, those heifers are greater than 30 days away from reaching puberty, and a score of 3 indicates that those heifers are probably within a month of cycling. Scores of 4 and 5 are actually heifers that are cycling, but given the length of the estrous cycle and what occurs during that cycle, scores of 4 indicate that the heifers is actually in the follicular phase of her cycle, and a score of 5 indicates that the heifer's in the luteal phase of her cycle. So essentially, one has a CL, the other one has a large preovulatory follicle, and the way the track will present itself is very obviously different. This is what essentially the track scores relate to in terms of the endocrine events that are occurring relative to those respective track score changes. And I won't go into, more or less the reproductive endocrine associations related to this, but that's why I value using these because they really give you an idea as to where those heifers are at from a reproductive development standpoint. And it all makes sense when you think about the endocrinology or the endocrine changes that are occurring leading up to the onset of puberty and subsequent to that once a heifer actually begins cycling on a normal basis. The other thing we do is we take pelvic exams on these heifers. And I know this is a point that's been argued over the years relative to the utility of it. But one of the things that we've seen in our program, it is a fairly highly heritable trait. And one of the things that we've seen in our program over the years, I won't say on a frequent basis, but it pops up every once in a while, is we'll find heifers in the program that have abnormally shaped pelvises or abnormally small pelvises. And the vast majority of those cases all trace back to a common sire. And so because we have the marketing component tied to the program and we survey our buyers, calving ease and how those heifers actually calve in terms of problem-free is a big issue. And so those heifers are screened. And essentially, this is one of the things that Darren and I worked with when I was at Kentucky because I was interested in what occurs from an endocrine standpoint relative to pelvic growth. And so what Darren and I did together was we began taking pelvic measurements on heifers at about 10 months of age on heifers and took them on a weekly basis, but we were bleeding those heifers twice weekly to look at when that first rise in progesterone occurred so we could look at pelvic growth as it relates to endocrine changes. And More or less, to make a long story short, essentially what you're going to find in these heifers is that if you go back to that endocrine chart that I showed here a couple slides previous to this, is that around the time puberty occurs, during that pubertal period, there's a big increase in estrogen or estradiol. And estradiol is anabolic. And so essentially what occurs during that time period is you're going to see a pretty rapid increase in pelvic growth on these heifers. So what we do in our program is that heifers, and you can read through this slide while I'm talking, but essentially we take the measurements pre-breeding when the track scores are done. But in many instances, what you're going to find is these heifers that track score 2 and 3, they're going to have corresponding small pelvic measurements. And so those heifers are flagged in our database. And the requirement is that those heifers be re-examined in terms of their pelvic measurements at the first preg check. And what we use are the daily growth expectations in terms of the BIF guidelines. And if those heifers, based on that first measurement, don't correspond to the increase in growth relative to what's anticipated on a daily growth basis, and essentially meet roughly in the range of about 180 square centimeters at that first preg check, those heifers don't go into our sale. So when this should be done, this is an important point. You can get into the cattle too early, and if you get in too early, you're going to be disappointed in the results, and you're going to have a hard time interpreting the results because more or less they're going to be meaningless. You need to time it relative to when your breeding season is, and essentially at that point in time, that's going to give you a good indication of where those heifers are at developmentally. So the track score should be done roughly 4 to 6 weeks before breeding, perhaps before synchronization, and in that case, I'll show you some data here in a moment. We're actually doing a lot of it at the time some of these protocols are beginning. And the heifers are ready to synchronize when roughly 50% of them have a track score of 4 or 5. If they're not, if you've got 20% of the heifers cycling, you've got a problem. And I don't care what sync program you're going to put them on, you're probably not going to be happy with your results. Why use synchronization? It's because more heifers will become pregnant early because you are going to jumpstart a very high percentage of those non-cycling heifers, and either the MGA-based programs or CEDAR will help you accomplish that. This is some of the first data that Darren and I reported from the program in Kentucky, and I think essentially what this mirrors what we still see in the program in Missouri. But essentially, if you look at these... look at these values. Track scores run from 1 to 5, as I mentioned earlier. These are the weights of those heifers at the time the track scores were done, the pelvic heights of the heifers, the pelvic widths of those heifers, as well as the total pelvic area. And essentially, you can see there's, as you would expect, corresponding differences relative to the pelvic areas of those heifers, as well as weights. But all of these heifers at that time, and this is some number of years ago now, you can see, but essentially, all these heifers were placed at that time on an MGA-based protocol, and you can see the corresponding increases in response rates relative to the observed heats on those heifers. And essentially, I'll show you some slides here in a moment that really support that. When I moved to Missouri early on in the program, we began to look at pregnancy rates of heifers in natural service versus synchronized and AI'd herds. This natural service column represents the number of heifers that are in this database. These are predominantly all Angus cross heifers. And these heifers in this column, there's a little over 1,000. None of these heifers were placed on any synchronization protocol. There's over 10,000 here in the synchronized and AI group. And you can essentially see, based on the 21-day preg rates, the natural service heifers versus the synchronized and AI'd. If you followed across by track score, with the exception of the heifers that track scored 1, where there was no difference, in every case there was an advantage relative to those heifers that were placed on a synchronization program. And so that's one of the reasons why we've seen the expanded use and growth of AI in the program. More recently, we've worked a lot with majority of the heifers in our program are being time bred. Just the vast majority are. And with our database now, we're tracking those heifers and the systems that they're on. There's close to 19,000 heifers in more recent years that we've got represented in this slide. And as you can see, if you look at the track scores of these heifers based on their performance in a timed AI program, there's just a corresponding increase as you move from those heifers at track score one on up to those heifers that are cycling. And so the other thing that we're interested in looking at is how these heifers are performing relative to the various protocols. Essentially, as I said, most all of those heifers, the track score one, are being eliminated. Before the breeding season, if we look at group the heifers based on non-cycling and cycling, we're able to see how those protocols are performing relative to the non-cycling heifers, compare that to the cycling heifers, and then the total pregnancy rates. And so this information is being shared across the states with our producers, as well as many of the Midwestern states. And I think that's one of the things that we see from the program is our producers want to see this data on an annual basis to see how the programs or various protocols are working. The other thing that we're doing is we're tracking all the sires that are being used in these timed AI programs, because it's very clear that there's distinct differences in terms of how some of these bulls perform in timed AI. And so over time, we hope to work more closely with the geneticists to really sort out some of the differences relative to sire fertility in these time programs, because I think that, too, is going to help us on down the road. So Some sort of closing comments relative to lead into Jared's discussion, but development of heifers during that post-weaning to pre-breeding period really sets the stage for future reproductive success. Reproductive evaluation of heifers prior to the first breeding season is useful in determining success of the development period. And basically, the database provides a unique opportunity to collect reproductive data on large numbers of heifers across our state. These are some of the accomplishments of our program that I think we're all really quite proud of. It is the first statewide on-farm development and marketing program in the country. Producers enrolled in the program are utilizing technologies in their heifer programs. But the point that I would say is that he talked to most of the veterinary practitioners in the state, and whether the heifers are being enrolled in the program or not, the basics in terms of these repro exams and a lot of the corresponding information tied to the program is being used very widely across the state. We've seen clearly an increase in the use of AI in the state, and we're seeing, as a result of that, not only in heifers, but significant increase in the use of cow AI. So in looking ahead, I think animal scientists, reproductive physiologists, and geneticists need to work a lot more closely with veterinarians in the AI industry. We have to start connecting better and more closely with the veterinary community. And I think, given the technologies that are either currently available on the shelf or emerging, I think all of us need to figure out how we're going to get that done. As Dare said here a moment ago, you can begin to count some of us based on our disciplines on one hand. And unless we connect with the vets, bring them into this equation, I think we're going to run into problems on down the road. The industry, as far as I'm concerned, and obviously being a physiologist, I have a huge bias. We need a lot more better reproductive data, and we're just not collecting it. And I think as an industry, we ought to sort of look at ourselves and be a little bit ashamed of that, because it's not rocket science. None of this stuff that I just went through is rocket science, but it's doable, and it is repeatable, and it's been published in the scientific literature that it is repeatable. And essentially, it really does all begin with heifers. So from my perspective, we, academia, producers, veterinarians, and allied industry really have been able to learn from data generated from the program. And we're in the midst right now, as I mentioned earlier, of really enhancing our database. Oklahoma State has indicated that they're going to begin a heifer program. They'd like to connect to our database, and I think if we get more interest from other groups or organizations, we're actually getting more interest from individual veterinary practices that would like to connect to it and utilize it. It really affords the opportunity to provide similar opportunities to clientele in other areas. So my closing thoughts, and I guess turn it over to Jared then, as we consider herd expansion and heifer retention, development and marketing, isn't it time the industry begin considering standardization of development practices and procedures as they relate to reproductive outcomes in replacement heifers? And is it feasible to consider connecting these data that can be collected through programs like this to the National Cattle Evaluation to improve the quality of reproductive data collection, reporting, and analysis? Because on down the road, I think that really is something that is sorely lacking in terms of the data that is currently being evaluated by the various breed association. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jared.